بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أضحب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. I'd like to begin by extending the best of wishes and tabrikat on this birth anniversary of the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. I would like to take this opportunity to look at the summary of the Islamic values that the Prophet of Islam presented in his last khutbah. And it's important that he selected these items in the last khutbah. You know, from the Sunni point of view, it was uttered in Mina. From our point of view, it was presented by the Prophet in Ghadir, irrespective of, you know, the location. But the main point is that the Prophet in that khutbah did not only just talk about the succession process, which is the central theme and the purpose of that sermon, but he began by summarizing the teachings of Islam. And for us to look at that as a way of, you know, seeing the ideal that the Prophet talked about and preached, and the practice of the Muslims during the current time. And that's where, you know, this is a moment of reflection to see whether we are close or far from it, and what we have to do, at least, you know, within our own ability, you know, how importance do we give to these issues? As a preamble to that khutbah, he says, you know, my time is coming to the end. Very soon the messenger of Allah, referring to Malakul Maut, will come to me and I will say labbaik to him. And then he says, you know, I would like to do this itmam al-hujjah, you know, the concluding, you know, argument that I have fulfilled my duty as far as conveying the message to you is concerned. And the very first thing he talks about is the sanctity of a Muslim's life and honor. You know, normally we say, okay, what is the most important thing in Islam? We'll say namaz. It is indeed important. But look at the way the prophets talks about it, because he's assuming that as far as rituals are concerned, you already know about it. He's highlighting the issues that we have to think about it more. And so he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَعَرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ إِلَّا أَن تُلْقَ رَبُّكُمْ. He says, oh people, you know, when it comes to your life and your honor towards one another, it is a sacrosanct. It is a hurmat. You cannot violate until the day you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means from in your entire life, you have to honor the life and honor, you know, the honor and hurmat of one another. كحرمت يومكم هذا ألا هل بلغت اللهم اشهد. Basically, then he, after all these statements, he says, do you testify that I have conveyed the message? And people will respond by saying, Bala Ya Rasulullah, yes, you have done it. And So look at the Muslim world at the moment. We are not even talking about how, you know, you deal with non-Muslims. Most of the problems we have these days, Muslims killing Muslims. And the irony is that the one who is killing other Muslims does that by saying Allahu Akbar. And the victims who are dying are saying their last shahada, La ilaha illallah. So the killer is saying Allahu Akbar, and the victim is saying La ilaha illallah. And that is the irony of the situation that we see now. Then he goes on to the second issue, the issue of amanat and trustworthiness. You know, when he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ أَمَانَةً فَلَيُوَدِّيهَا إِلَى مَنْ اِعْتَمَنَهُ عَلَيْهَا. He says, whoever has a trust with him, you know, he should make sure that he fulfills that trust and conveys the, you know, to the people who are deserving or the owner. And this is where we see that, you know, one of the most important things in the life of the Prophet was that even before talking about Islam, he was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, the truthful person and the trustworthy person. And this is the same important quality that we see in the character of Ali. You know, in the event of Hijrah, the Prophet asked Ali to take his place in the bed so that the enemies who were surrounded the house would not dictate him that, you know, oh, the bed is empty. It is not only for the protection of the life of Rasulullah. This was done in order to also protect the honor of Rasulullah as an Amin. One of the duties that the Prophet had given to Ali was not only that you will, by sleeping there in my bed, you will be protecting my life, you will also be protecting my honor, because I have some amanat in my house, things entrusted to me, and I would like you to convey those to their rightful owners. And so when we talk about, you know, Shab-e Hijrat, the fazilat of Ali is not only in protecting the life of Rasulullah, it's also in the honor, protecting the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, he says, "Inna riba al-jahiliyya mawdu'un," and then he gives an example that whatever interest and usury that you people had asked from one another when you gave loan, you know, this is all now abolished. And he specifies his own uncle, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. So he says, "I'm beginning with him." So whatever your loan that you had given, as far as the riba is concerned, the interest there, the usury, this is all abolished. Unfortunately, we are, you know, in the Western part of the world, things are slightly different. But even in the Muslim world, instead of all these attempts, we still have not been able to come to an ideal, you know, solution to this problem as far as the Islamic finance and banking system is concerned. Then he goes on to something which was more a tribal issue among the Arabs at that time. He talks about the tribal strife in the Dama al-Jahiliya Mawdu'un, where, you know, if somebody kills someone else from another tribe, you know, these revenge killing would continue from generation after another generation for a long, long time. And this is where the Prophet basically talks about it, to end this tribal strife, which was common among the Arabs at that time. Number five, he basically talks about the vigilance that we must have towards the shaitan. He says, أيها الناس إن الشيطان قد يأس أن يعبد بأرضكم هذه. He says the shaitan has lost hope that there will be no idol worshipping in these holy lands anymore. However, لكنه رضي قَدْ رَضِيَ بِأَنْ يُطَاعَ فِي مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. He says, but he's still happy with other things that you will be following him. Especially the Prophet says, فِيمَا تَحْقِرُونَ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ. Small, you know, issues in your life where you will be following the commandments of shaitan. And this is where we have to realize, you know, sometimes we are told that, you know, Maulana, just, you know, let it be on a minimum level. We don't have to go, you know, to full extent of values of Islam that you're talking about. You know, as long as we do the minimum, alhamdulillah, that's fine. But we have to realize that shaitan finds his way to our hearts and our mind through the minor violations that we do. And this is the warning that the Prophet has given to us. Number six, and we'll continue this khutbah in the next khutbah also. He talks about the rights of women. Interestingly, he didn't talk about the rights of men in this last, you know, khutbah that he gave. أيها الناس إن لنسائكم عليكم حقا ولكم عليهن حقا. Especially in the context of the marriage life, he says, remember that your women have a right on you, and you, of course, have a right on them. But I would like to highlight three important things that he mentioned about it. Number one, he says, أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ. When you marry a woman, you actually are taking her as your wife, as an amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at that relationship in that way, our perspective will change. That the wife is considered to be the amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hand of the husband. And therefore he says, you know, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. When it comes to the issues of women, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he ends that even when it comes to the issue of wasiyyah, when you write the will, in the two-thirds, you don't have a choice anyway. It is already fixed who gets what. He says, in the one-third, he says, do not forget them. Even though they might already have their own share in the two-thirds, he says, look at the situation. If they need more, you use the one-third for it. And this is where it's important for us to realize, you know, when we talk about Islam all the time, it is our actions which really have a more, you know, lasting impact on non-Muslims, on how we behave. And I would like to repeat what I said earlier. The ideals that Islam has brought and the practice that we see in the Muslim world is not really helping at all. Especially when it comes to the issue of women. You know, and I would emphasize a point here that don't put the judgment of your faith on the actions of individuals. You know, people are of all kinds and all religions. Just because somebody in a religion does something which you don't agree with doesn't mean you just pass the judgment to the deen and the mazhab itself. It is that person who would be responsible. And so you have to keep separate, you know, these issues. On the day of Qiyamah, I cannot stand there and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, or the imam of my masjid did this thing and therefore I abandon Islam. Your Islam is not tied to the imam of the masjid or the teacher of the madrasa or anyone even higher. Your Islam is tied to you, yourself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody does something which is wrong, you know, don't put the judgment on the deen and the mazhab. You have to look at what Islam is saying. As I said, you know, there is unfortunately a big gap that we see between the ideals taught by the Prophet and the practice of the Muslim Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the hikmat of the teachings of Islam in the true sense and give us the courage to be firm in our on our deen and mazhab inshallah. In ahsan al hadith kitab Allah al aziz bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدًا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. To continue with the khutbah of the Prophet summarizing the important issues in Islam, then it comes to the issue of brotherhood. And it's interesting to see how he is linking that to the wilayat of Ali bin Abi Talib. It says, Ya ayyuhan nas, innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. O people, then he recites this ayat of Quran from Surah Al-Hujarat, that the believers are brethren of one another. لا يحل لمؤمن ما لأخيه إلا أن طيب نفس منه. Then he talks about the sanctity of the property of the believers among one another. You have to be very careful about it. You can't take it unless there is agreement between the two parties. And then he says, ولا ترجعن كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. And after me, Do not go back to kufr, killing one another. You know, basically, يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضُ, basically hitting on the neck of one another, killing one another. If you don't want to do that, you want to stay on the iman, because he says, you know, don't go back towards kufr. If you don't want to go back to kufr, and respect the sanctity of the life of one another, then he says, remember, فَإِنِّي قَدْ تَرَكْتُمْ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ أَخَصُّمْ بِهِ لَنْ تَظِلُّ. I'm living among you something that if you hold on to it, you will never go astray. And this is where he says, كِتَابُ اللَّهُ وَعِتْرَةِ أَحْلُ بَيْتِ. He says, two things I'm leaving behind. If you follow them, you will never go astray. One is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is my family, my Ahlul Bayt. And then he comes to the point where he says, the issue of, you know, unity among the Muslims. أيها الناس إن ربكم واحد وإن أباكم واحد كلكم لآدم وعادم من تراب. Equality among the believers. He says, remember, all of you are one. All of you are from Adam. And Adam was created from turab, from the earth. And then he goes to the ayat of Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable among you is the one who is the most righteous one. وَلَيْسَ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَجَمِيٍ فَضْلٌ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى. No Arab has any preference over a non-Arab except on the basis of taqwa and righteousness. And this is where, you know, again he says, have I conveyed the message? And people said, yes. And that is where he says, فَلِيُبَلِّغَ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ. Those who are present here should convey this message to those who are absent. At the end, he ends by talking about the importance of the laws of inheritance, where he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, very clearly mentioned the shares of those who are going to inherit you. And this is where we come to realize that even the laws of inheritance is considered to be important enough by the Prophet that he included that, and that the summary of the last khutbah that he had. And so we see, he talked about the sanctity of life, the issue of honor and property of one another, the prohibition of riba, going on to the issue of women, the issue of brotherhood in the ummah, and the equality of the believers, the laws of inheritance, and the vilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen as the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on this blessed day, may He bring about peace and harmony in the Muslim world, especially among the Shias themselves, so that we can be among those who truly follow the teachings of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa Shafi'il Mudhunabin, Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. محيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم يا أبني الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Thank you.